You thought God just answered your prayer and you run into something else? And you want to know, God, where did this come from?
Dr. Tony Evans says it might have come straight from heaven.
When God wants to move you to a deeper level of experiencing Him, not just knowing about it, He will typically use a crisis.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. We're all comfortable with the idea of the Lord getting us out of trouble. Well, today, Dr. Evans talks about what may be happening when God intentionally lets us get into it, even while He's preparing to deliver us. Let's join him.
God allows crises in our lives to reveal God in a way you have never seen Him before. Of all the stories in the Bible that reveal God allowing, even crafting, manipulating a crisis for the purpose of our experiencing and knowing Him better, is the most famous story in the Old Testament, the opening of the Red Sea. That story dominates the Old Testament. It's repeated over and over and over and over and over because it was the premier crisis of the children of Israel. And it was one they would never, ever, never, 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 ever forget. When God wants to move you to a new level, to a deeper level of experiencing Him, not just knowing about Him, He will typically use a crisis. Now, Israel had expanded in Egypt, and God was ready for them to move now to a new place called the Promised Land. But they had gotten comfortable where they were. They were in Egypt and everything was going pretty good in Egypt. The problem is they could live comfortably without God in Egypt. And you can be comfortable without God. Many of you know non-Christians who don't think much about God and are doing okay. They don't need God. They got a good bank account. They feel they're healthy. Everything seems to be going well. Well, the children of Israel had become comfortable in a place God didn't want them to stay. So like a child, when it's time for them to leave, you know they need to leave. They don't think they need to leave. Why are you going to leave when the food is free, the air is free, the heat is free? The roof is free, and all you do is coming and going. Why are you going to leave? You can be comfortable. You're asking, why won't they leave? It's too comfortable. That's why they're not going to leave. So if you want to move them on and move them out rawhide, if you want to get them going, you've got to create discomfort. Tell them you got to stop paying rent. Tell them you got to buy your own food. Tell them you got to split the utilities. Tell them you can't use my gas card anymore. Tell them you can't be coming in whenever you want to. You make it uncomfortable, and they will reconsider their position. But if they know they can live there till their dying day, they ain't going nowhere. God wanted His people to go somewhere. He wanted His people to leave Egypt, where it was comfortable, and to go to the place of promise where they would experience Him more personally and more deeply because they could live without the experience of God in Egypt. So according to the book of Exodus, chapter 2, God allowed there to be discomfort. God allowed there to be difficulty. God allowed there to be anguish among the people of God because of His desire to move them to a new place. God goes over, unbeknownst to them, to a man named Moses, tell Moses, I'm choosing you to go tell Pharaoh, answer my people's prayer. Moses goes to Pharaoh. He says, Pharaoh, God said, let our people go. Pharaoh says no. He says no 9 times. The 10th one was a doozy. He said no once too much. And now God kills all the firstborn of the Egyptians. He preserves the life of the firstborn of Israel, the Passover. Pharaoh knew he had to get rid of these people. Watch this now. God forced the sinner to set the saints free by allowing the sinner, Pharaoh, Egypt, the world, to free his people. So they do that. Oh, this is sweet. Freedom. They finally get freedom. After the 10th plague, Pharaoh can't take it anymore. He says, y'all get out of here. Not only did he say, y'all get out of here, they gave him the money for the trip. That's right. The Bible says they wanted them out there so bad in chapter 12 that they took off all their gold, all their jewelry, all their silver, all their wealth, and turned it over to them. Not only do we want you to leave, we're going to pay the fare. Verse 17 of chapter 13. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led them around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. Listen, if God is taking you the long way around, in other words, he's taking a long time to finish what he started, it's because he knows there are problems on the direct route. See, the Philistines, that was the problem. It was the quick way. It wasn't the best way. The quick solution to whatever it is you're facing is not always the best solution. That's why you got to follow God, because he's got inside information that you're not aware of. You don't know what you're going to run into if you go the natural route, the direct route, which would have been along the Mediterranean Sea. That would have been a great little trip, you know, along the Mediterranean, you know, with all the gold and the jewelry and all that stuff. That's living large. We would have gotten to our destination quick. God says that's not the best route. Verse 4 of chapter 14. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And so he hardens Pharaoh's heart and says, watch this now. When I harden his heart, he will chase after them. Now, wait a minute. God, my prayer is get Pharaoh off my back. That's my prayer. Tell my boss, leave me alone. Change my mate. Tell my situation to go away. That's my prayer. God said, we're going to make it worse. I'm a harden Pharaoh's heart so he won't stay home. I'm a harden Pharaoh's heart so that he chases you. I am going to make your situation worse. Now, what's frustrating about this is he just had answered one prayer by raising up Moses, setting us free from Egypt. And now I'm back in a brand new crisis. Because the reason for a crisis, our point is to give you a deeper, more experiential knowledge of God. Not information, but experiential. Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. So he tells them in verse 6, get your chariots ready. We're going after these folk. We're going to deal with these folk. So verse 7, 600 chariots. All the other chariots of Egypt, all the officers over them. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Verse 8, king of Egypt. And he chased down the sons of Israel. The Egyptians chased them with horses and chariots, verse 9. Now, all of a sudden, we come to verse 10. As Pharaoh draws near, the sons of Israel look, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became scared, very frightened. As the sons of Israel, watch this now. What did they do? Cried out. Remember last time they cried out? They cried out because they're in a crisis. God becomes real important in a crisis. Being all fancy is not your concern in a crisis. In a crisis, you're going, God! crisis. You ain't trying to be cute in no crisis. You're not trying to be all something, something, and looking all sophisticated and spiritual. And that ain't a crisis. Mm-mm. You ain't trying to be sadiddy in a crisis. In a crisis, you don't care who's listening. See, some people say, well, you know, I don't like to pray around people. It ain't bad enough yet. If it gets bad enough, you don't care who's listening. If it gets bad enough, you don't care other people hearing you. If it gets bad enough, you don't care because you are now desperate for God. And God, guess what? Wants you to be desperate for him. They cried out because they are scared to death. They cry out and they said to Moses in verse 11, were there no graves in Egypt? If we're going to die, we could at least died back home. You got us dying out here in this wilderness. It would have been better for us, verse 12, to serve the Egyptians. Now, of course, when they were in Egypt, they were crying out, get us up out of here, up out of here. But they're in a crisis. Moses, he stands before the people and he says, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen, you will never see them again forever. And the Lord will fight for you while you shut up. Okay, when he says why you are silent, he does not mean no talking. He means no talking like you were just talking a minute ago, a verse ago. Wouldn't it be better if we go back to Egypt? Because if we went back to Egypt, we had graves in Egypt. We could serve the Egyptians. Shut up, shut up, shut up. That's the silence he's talking about. He's not saying a mother couldn't whisper to her son and a father couldn't say any word to his daughter. No, he's saying that foolishness you just talking two verses ago. Why can't we go back to Egypt? And I told you when we were back to Egypt. In other words, complaining about the very thing they asked for. Complaining about the very thing they asked for. Get us out of here. God, get them out of here. If you shut up, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. What's the implication? If you keep talking, you're not going to see nothing. If you keep complaining, you're not going to see anything. If you keep grumbling, you're not going to experience anything. If you keep blaming God rather than looking to God, you're going to be disappointed in God. Shut up, shut up, shut up. So we can see what God can do.
And what can God do? We'll find out when Dr. Evans continues this message from his current teaching collection, Living Above the Circumstances. This 15-message compilation explains how to get more out of life, no matter what your situation may look like. And right now, for a limited time, this entire 2-volume set is yours as our gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. In addition to this powerful collection of messages, we'll also say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Evans' popular best-selling booklet called Let It Go. This easy-to-read guide can help you or a struggling friend learn how to let go of the past, live in the present, and trust God for the future. Don't miss out. Visit TonyEvans.org today, where you can find all the details to take advantage of this special double offer. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you a little later after part two of today's lesson and this.
How do you share the gospel with confidence? What's God's plan for our communities? Why does the Old Testament matter to your faith today? Those are just a few of the questions you'll get answered when you enroll in the Tony Evans Training Center, an interactive online study experience with Dr. Tony Evans, where you can grow in your knowledge of God's Word and learn to advance His kingdom agenda in your life. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to get started today. That's TonyEvansTraining.org.
I love verse 15. Verse 15, you might call a conundrum. In verse 15, he says, The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." Now, why would I call verse 15a conundrum? Because I can't find where Moses is crying to God. I mean, unless I miss something. He says, "Moses, why are you crying to me?" But Moses was just talking to the people. God's going to deliver you. God's going to fix it. God's going to turn it around. God's going to save you. God's going to be your deliverer. And the next verse, after Moses finished talking to the people, he says, "Moses, why are you crying to me?" That's a conundrum. I don't see Moses crying. I don't see Moses, but he said it to Moses. So let me tell you, in my sanctified imagination, what's going on here. It says the people were scared. They're scared to death. They cry out to God. Moses, because he's the leader, he's on the pulpit. He's standing up and saying, "Listen, God's going to take care of this. God's going to fix this. He's a way maker. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a balm in Gilead. He's a bright and morning star. He's so high you can't get over. He's so low you can't get under. He's so wide you can't get around him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think." And Moses is talking noise on the outside. But deep down where Moses lived, deep down in Moses' heart, he's saying, "Israel, God gonna fix it. Lord, you better do something. God's gonna turn it around. Oh God, I'm so scared. God's gonna be a way maker. I'm terrified." See, Moses was crying too, but he the leader, so he can't show it. Sometime I'll be up here and I'll be scared too. Shoot. He says, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the people, march." March where? There's a Red Sea. There's a Red Sea. Where are we going? Moses, verse 16, "Lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." I'm going to show you something, Moses. I'm going to show all of Israel something. I put you between a rock and a hard place. I put you in a bad situation because you're going to see something you ain't never seen before. You're going to experience something you've never experienced before. I want you to do something and I want them to do something. I want you to hold out your rod. The rod that you used to lead sheep with that I told you to throw down that became a snake and told you to pick the snake up by the tail and it became a rod again. Yeah, that rod that they used to call the rod of Moses that now is called the rod of God, that stick. You hold it out over the water. You tell the people to march. Everybody's got to exercise faith. You march, even though it doesn't look like there's any place to go. I want you to act in faith. I want you to go forward. I want you to, I know you don't see what I'm going to do. I know you don't understand how I'm going to do it. I just want you to march. Hold out your rod and I will do the rest. Let me explain something. To experience spiritual deliverance, you must exercise the faith that you can. All they could do was march. They couldn't separate the water. That was in God's ballpark. But Moses could hold out the rod and they could move forward as far as they could go. And then it happened. God said, "The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord and I will be honored by Pharaoh and his chariots." The angel of the Lord came before the camp. The pillar of cloud moved before them. The army of the Egyptians, verse 20, is the cloud of darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other. Moses stretched out his hand, verse 21. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea. Watch this now. You rarely hear a sermon on this. We all know they went through the sea. But there's another miracle here. There's a miracle that the water divides, okay? Charlton Heston, Cecil B. DeMille, I got you on that one. the water did divide. But here's the other miracle. Dry land. The land's not supposed to be dry. If you're in the sea, you can't roll carts and animals, and you can't do that on that kind of muddy surface. You can't move 2 million people who are being chased in a smooth way unless the land is dry. So while it is awesome that God whipped up the wind and caused there to be a wall that blocked the water, it's also staggering that the ground is hard. Hard enough for them to roll the different wagons over and what they carried, all their goods in, to be able to walk on it. That was a miracle. They went over on dry land and the waters were like a wall. The Egyptians, verse 23, pursued. Verse 24, and the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of cloud. And verse 25, he caused their chariot wheels to swerve. He made their chariot wheels drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee. Then the Lord said, hold out your rod, Moses, and the water comes back together. And they returned, verse 28, and covered the Egyptians. And the sons of Israel, verse 29, walked on dry land. And the Lord saved Israel that day from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead. Israel, here it is, saw the great power the Lord had used against the Egyptians. The people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Well, here it is. When they saw his power. What kind of power? Delivering power. Because they were in a pinch, up a creek, between a rock and a hard place. When they witnessed his power, it's not enough for you to come here every Sunday and hear me say, he's got power. You already know that. You can tell yourself that. But when he puts you in a crisis and you get to see the power that you talk about, hear about, amen about, tell others about, but you see it with your own eyes. Oh, now you know him for yourself. You know him for yourself. He'll let you get to the bottom. He'll let you get down to the last bill. He'll let you think you look like you're going to lose your home. He'll let you get fired. He'll let the things go well. He'll let health sometimes go left. He'll let circumstances not appear to be in your favor. But instead of grumbling and complaining and making your heart hard, you ought to say, God, you have now created an opportunity for me to see you at a level that I have never witnessed you before. Fall, and I'm looking to you to overcome, override, deliver, turn, tweak, flip, twist, to override the Egyptians in my life.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a message called Experiencing Spiritual Deliverance. Now that's the title to ask about if you're interested in getting a full-length copy of today's lesson, on either CD or instantly available digital download. Or better yet, get it as a part of Dr. Evans' current 2-volume, 15-message teaching compilation, Living Above the Circumstances. If you contact us before time runs out, it's yours as our gift of thanks in return for your contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, we'll also send you, as a bonus, the Let It Go booklet I mentioned earlier. Just visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open day and night, 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Life is a never-ending stream of choices, but none are more important than the ones Dr. Evans will talk to us about tomorrow. I hope you'll join us as he explains how to make those choices wisely. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.